Reading through Psalm 119, it's quite clear that this refers to David as a young man devoting himself to the promises of God's word rather than to trying to get riches. And yet at the same time, he is in exile. He's being persecuted because of the Lord's word. He's away from the sanctuary, as he often complains. And he keeps on pleading the promise of God's word that he'd be preserved from persecution. He often talks about how the wicked are trying to kill him and are chasing him. And he talks about how they're trying to snare him. And you think of how Saul tried to snare him with the offer of marrying Michal, his daughter. He keeps talking about how you will destroy the wicked one day. And I think that pretty clearly he's writing all this at the time of his persecution by Saul. And when he keeps on about the promise of your word, I don't think he's talking necessarily about Genesis onwards, as far as he knew the Bible, but the specific word of promise that he would be king and that Saul ultimately would come to nothing, and that those who were persecuting him, snaring him, etc., would all come to nothing. And so the historical background for Psalm 119 is this persecution that David endures from Saul. And it's largely in 1 Samuel 18 when it starts. He wins the great victory over Goliath. And then straight away, this persecution starts. It's quite clear that Saul was eaten up with jealousy, and that the spirit of jealousy came upon him, and that was the evil spirit from the Lord. That is, Saul's obsession against David was confirmed by God. It just shows that God will confirm you whatever way you wish to go. And that is the function, I suggest, of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of holiness, which is from God, and also this evil spirit from the Lord that troubled Saul. So it says 1 Samuel 18 verse 14 that David behaved himself wisely in all that he did, and Yahweh was with him. And when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, he stood in awe of him and hated him basically even more. So how was David so wise? Well, here is where Psalm 119 kicks in, that he says, "I am wiser than my enemies, Saul and co., because I love your word." So although the word in view was specifically the promise that he would one day be king, I don't rule out David's love of all God's testimonies, all the law or the Torah that he had from Genesis to Deuteronomy. Whether he was literate, I somewhat doubt. Certainly at that point in his life, I somewhat doubt. And yet all those years of watching the sheep, I guess he would bit by bit have memorized large parts of the law. And so when he says, "It is my study all the day," it would be wrong to imagine a man at a desk sitting on a chair with a sort of a scroll in front of him that he's poring over. For one thing, he didn't have table and chair. He was on the run from Saul. And I very much doubt he had any scrolls to study. And I somewhat doubt at that point he was literate. He was a shepherd boy who became king and then had the advantages of education, etc., probably later in his life. And so David then was studying God's law by going over and over it in his mind. And let us not think that you can only study the Bible when you've got a Bible physically in front of you or where you can read it off your phone. You can meditate on God's law. This is the art of spiritual life. To be able to have God's law going round and round in your head, that's what David did, and this gave him this wisdom. I mean, the poor guy, you do feel sorry for him. I mean, he starts off absolutely clean and honest in his motivation. He simply wants to serve God. He'd had great faith in going out there, killing Goliath, and then bang, he's into politics, big time. Everybody thinks he's wonderful. more wonderful than they think that Saul is. And of course, the people kind of expect Saul to appoint David to be head of the army. And so he does. And of course, he wants to have someone who can win the victories and come up with the goods in terms of fighting the Philistines. And David's the man. And this creates all these tensions and politics, Saul with his mental illness, and then Saul's daughter falls in love with David, and David falls in love with her, and Jonathan becomes his best mate, who's Saul's son. Yeah. And, you know, in a way, David really did love Saul. That's, I think, clear on a number of times, that he really does love him. And so the whole thing suddenly it gets very complex. The clean-faced, red-cheeked, spiritually-minded, probably red-haired young man, because his complexion is described as red, suddenly gets caught up in court politics. The kid from the village goes to the town, and there he is in the palace, effectively in the Houses of Parliament, as it were, and he is way caught up in all these politics. And then God basically says, I'm getting rid of Saul, and you, David, are going to be the king. You know, all the politics. And so how on earth to steer a steady course through all that? Truly, does he say in Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his way? How on earth can a young man know how to live? How on earth can a young man know what choices to take? Through your word. And yet, of course, in reading the law of Moses, which is all he had, or meditating, as I say, upon it, he didn't get direct answers. All he would have got were precedents that he had to work out. There was no direct statement there. Should I, as it were, run for president? Should I turn down this job doing the army, running the army? Should I just fade away and go back to looking after sheep? Should I fight the Philistines? Should I get involved? I mean, all these questions. Should I even keep hanging out in Saul's presence? Should I be friends with Jonathan? You know, there were no direct answers, and yet he says that God's word kept him wise. But there was no specific statement about all those issues. Just as the Bible does not have specific statements about the myriad of choices that you and I face today. Should you get this job? Should you move to that apartment? Should you buy that car? Should you do this for your kids? Should your kids go to that school or this school or whatever? There is no direct word from the Lord, and yet we are guided. But we are guided, as I say, as David was, by precedent. And that is why so much of the Bible, even including the law of Moses, is in fact history, really. And it's there to speak to us. And so there we are, like David in a different context, but we are like him. I mean, how on earth should anyone know how to live in this world? And how should we play all the decisions that like a stream come before us, and big and small, every day? Well, by his word. And what does that mean? By assimilating the spirit of it all, by grasping the spirit of it. I mean, you can figure quite clearly from the accounts in early Genesis that you don't put out your hand to get just what looks nice and fancy, or else you will fall into sin. And you know, that's the principle. And that, I guess, applies to that choice you have today. Should I buy that really nice-looking car because it looks cool and it looks nice, or whatever? As I say, the specifics aren't, of course, addressed, but the principles are.